Welcome to Wellspring on the Air. I'm Lindsay Steffen, a therapist at Wellspring and the host of today's show on self-regulation or self-control. So today our show is going to be co-hosted by my good friend Gabby Zelaya. So she's a therapist with us at Wellspring, and I'm going to be interviewing her today about self-regulation, self-control. So this is going to be a very interesting topic with a lot of good information. So definitely stick with us. Gabby, I'd love for you to introduce yourself a little bit and just let us know what you do at Wellspring.
So thanks for having me on the show today. I'm really happy to be here. I'm a therapist with Wellspring. I focus primarily on, just individual therapy for adults, adolescents, who are dealing with unresolved trauma and just varying mental health concerns.
Okay, awesome. Yes, and Gabby was an intern with us, and now she's full-time staff. So it's been awesome to have her with us on this journey and to get to keep her longer term. So I'm very happy about that. But yeah, she knows a lot about this topic. So we wanted to invite her today just to share with our listeners. I guess let's start with the definition. Just some people, we hear of self-control even in the Bible, and self-regulation might be a little bit more of a therapy word. So Gabby, how would you define that for our listeners?
Yeah, so, just a straightforward definition of self-regulation or self-control. It's just the ability to be able to control oneself, one's emotions and behaviors, right? So it allows us to be able to cope with our difficult emotions in a calm way and respond in a way that's appropriate to our environment and our situation.
Okay, yeah. So when you describe that, it just sounds like stability. Like I don't lose control, based on what I feel or how I act. I don't kind of let my emotions control me. I'm literally regulating them or controlling them. So that would be a very solid place to be, and a place that would probably feel secure for us. So that's why we strive to figure out, how can I have self-control? How can I regulate my emotions and not really be driven by them so strongly?
Absolutely right. We're controlling our emotions, not letting them control us.
Yeah, perfect way to say that. All right, well, why don't we hear some statistics? What does the research have to say about this topic?
Yeah, so definitely, according to the APA, the average person spends about 3 to 4 hours a day resisting their desires.
Wow, that's huge. Oh my goodness, 3 to 4 hours.
That is a lot of time and energy.
Yeah. And I'm imagining probably, this would have to do with food. That's a big thing. I know people are always dieting and resisting, or maybe resisting to gossip, or maybe a sexual urge, or to yell, lose your temper. I think it could be anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It kind of can go into a bunch of different things, depending on, what each individual struggles with.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, tell us more.
Sure. So some more statistics to kind of go with self-control, right? That same energy that is used for self-control is also used for making decisions, right? So after making decisions, people tend to perform worse at self-control. But on the flip side, after exerting self-control, decision-making shifts and becomes a simpler and easier process.
Wow. Okay. So learning how to have self-control actually enables us to be better decision makers. That's an interesting correlation.
Definitely. And another study actually found that people's ability to exert self-control and resist temptation decreases gradually throughout the day. So, we're kind of finding out that we're a limited resource. Our self-control is limited. So,
wow. Okay. That's so interesting, because that makes me think of how we kind of form healthy habits, like how they say, if you're, you have a desire to work out, like do it first thing in the morning, because likely if the day goes on, you probably won't do it later once you're tired and, done for the day, and you just want to shower and get in your jammies, or even your quiet time. If you're wanting to spend that time with the Lord each morning, the further you get into the day, the more tired, you just kind of want to veg, watch TV or read, whatever you like to do to relax.
Yeah, absolutely. Those activities that tend to take a little bit more of our self-discipline are, you know, usually tend to be better for us earlier in the day, as you were saying, because, you know, we get tired and we become just more drained as the day drags on, right? And at the end of the day, you really just want to come home and relax, rest, right? Just kind of take your mind off of maybe what happened earlier in the day.
Exactly. You know, this kind of even makes me think, I work with addictions, and we always, as we talk about triggers, nighttime is a trigger for most people, weekends and nighttime. So that's interesting. So you're saying we've used self-control through the day. So by nighttime, we're just weaker. We're actually more vulnerable. And so it makes sense how we encourage people after work to attend a meeting, whether it's for alcohol, pornography, whatever you struggle with, codependence, you kind of need that refilling, like your gas tank's empty and you need to fill it back up just to get through the evening a lot of the time, or have that evening accountability. A lot of people end up, acting out at night. So that's an interesting thing to learn from you. It makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, just even kind of going into that nighttime struggle that you're talking about, you know, there's revenge bedtime procrastination, right? So even just kind of our self-control with that, if we don't know what that means to, you know, our listeners, it's kind of, you know, when we tend to fight, you know, our bedtime, right? And we tend to just kind of stay up and do things and maybe sometimes do things that we shouldn't be doing, right?
So yeah.
our self-control is limited, right, as the day goes on. So by, you know, those late night hours, we just really have to be careful and, you know, put those limits on ourselves.
Yeah, that's a big thing I try to kind of train my clients in with addictions, is once you're tired, I say, go to bed. You know, it's, if you're tired, you are actually, you're physically weak. And so you're emotionally weaker. And so if it's 10 o'clock and you're just tired, and then you're like, you know what, I should just go to bed. Don't fight it. Don't watch more TV, stay up. Cause then the likelihood that I act out with whatever it is, cutting, viewing pornography, texting that person I shouldn't, I just need to go to sleep. Even if you have the urge, you know, sleep in a way is like a reset button. So it can be used for avoidance. So we have to be careful. But I think at that time, it's the proper time to go to bed. So even if it's 9 o'clock, you're like, that's too early. Well, you could go to sleep, get a good night's sleep, or stay up and maybe get into trouble, do something you regret in the morning.
Right. If you go to sleep earlier, really the only thing that could happen is you'll be more well rested at the start of your day the next day, right?
So yeah, no negative consequence. Yeah. All right. So we've talked a lot about, you know, kind of what is self-control and kind of when we're weaker, I guess. So let's bring some hope into this. And how can we learn to exercise self-control? What are some things we can do to set ourselves up for success?
Yeah, so something that we can do is just remove those temptations, right? So if you feel that something is going to tempt you, try to remove yourself from that situation, or, you know, just stay away from, you know, whatever it is that is going to cause you to maybe fall into doing something that you don't want to do, right?
I love that.
Focusing on the bigger goal, right? So what are the benefits of me showing self-control right now? How's this going to benefit me in the long run, right? So maybe I'm going to get my short-term desire met, but is this going to inhibit me from being able to reach that big picture goal that I've been working on? Right? Is this going to kind of eliminate all the progress that I've made over the past few days, weeks, months, years? You know, those things in mind.
That makes sense. Cause yeah, let's say we have a relational goal of showing loyalty, producing kind of a closeness, a trust, and then we act out with whatever that maybe behavior is. Again, I go to pornography because we just see that a lot at Wellspring. A lot of people, men and women, struggle with that. So it's like, okay, if I give in and view that tonight, and then tomorrow I have to face my husband or wife with feeling shame if I hide it, or if I do come clean, just knowing that I hurt them. And was it worth it for that, you know, those minutes of pleasure? I think that when you play the tape all the way through and you deal with the consequences in your mind, sometimes that's enough to talk you out of it and to say, you know what, I don't want to feel that way in the morning and I don't want to hurt them. And so that helps. What you said before about removing temptations, I think knowing what are my temptations and when do they come? So knowing your triggers, that's something I always teach clients. Loneliness and boredom, I find, are the two emotions that seem to trigger everything. So nighttime, you know, if someone lives on their own or maybe they're in a family where they feel lonely, if you're going to feel lonely and you're going to be bored, like nothing to do, you actually need to produce things to do at night that are healthy and going to help you. So if you are trying not to drink and your family drinks together every night, you need to be like, well, I think that's a time when I need to go to my room and call a friend or read or paint or listen to music or whatever it is that helps you. And just kind of set yourself up knowing ahead of time, it's not going to work. Like I can't just hang out with them and not drink. I'm going to. So let me think ahead and kind of brainstorm. What can I do instead? What can I do to replace that?
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I think just also kind of going back to, you know, how you were saying loneliness and boredom, I think a big thing too is even just learning how to manage our stress, right? Because sometimes some negative behaviors that we might engage in are because we're stressed, right? So like I had a stressful day and now the temptation to drink, right? To kind of get rid of some of that stress, or, you know, someone is really stressed and they've struggled with, you know, other maybe drug use, right? That temptation,
right?
That, you know, life is so stressful right now, let me turn to this. You know, just learning how to cope with those things in a healthier way. So, you know, meditating, exercising, right, is a huge way to manage stress.
Yes.
You know, so engaging just in healthier activities instead. Learning what makes you feel stressed, right? Like what's your limit, what's your capacity before you tend to turn to those kind of unwanted behaviors.
Absolutely. And I think too, what you're saying is with the stress management, that's for everything. Like even it could be as far as addictions, but even just our unhealthy behaviors that maybe aren't necessarily addiction. But if I don't manage my stress, then I'm going to look to something to make me feel better. So let's say I'm just a workaholic. I work all day. I'm so stressed. I have no time for self-care, for relationships. I'm going to be unhappy. I'm probably going to be anxious, maybe struggle with some depression, even if it's high functioning. And so I'm gonna probably not make the best decisions. So we have to carve in with our stress management, also just that self-care. You have to have times to reset, rejuvenate, take care of yourself. So that would be a big part of that, I think.
Important, absolutely. And I think also just forgiving ourselves, right? Because mistakes happen, you know, having grace with ourselves and, you know, just realizing I can try it again, right? This isn't the end. It's not over because I messed up one time, right? There's hope and there is time to restart and do better.
Yeah, that it's not like, oh, I failed today, so let me just keep messing up all day, but more taking responsibility, not justifying it, and say, okay, from this moment forward, I'm back on the horse. I'm going to try again.
Yes. So,
all right. Well, good, Gabby. We're at a break now, so we will take a short break and be back. So I'm Lindsay Steffen with Wellspring on the Air. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wellspring on the Air. This is Lindsay Steffen. If you're just joining our show, our topic today is self-regulation and self-control. So far today, we've talked about what is self-regulation and self-control, and we talked about how it's the ability that we have to control our emotions and our behaviors. So we can cope with difficult negative emotions in a calm way. And instead of reacting, we can actually think about it and respond in a way that is helpful and appropriate to our environment. So we talked about exercising self-control. How do we do that? We shared some stats. So it's been a very interesting show with Gabby. I encourage you, if you missed the first half, definitely go to your favorite podcast channel, Wellspring on the Air, or go to our blog page at wellspringmiami.org and just search for this topic. So we'll keep going. Gabby, again, thanks for being here and sharing all of your expert knowledge on self-control, self-regulation. So let's keep going, dive back in. What are some habits or practical ways that we can foster self-control?
Sure. So, you know, just kind of how we had talked about, you know, some of our nighttime habits and routines, getting sufficient sleep. Right?
Yes.
Huge in just our ability to, you know, be able to make good decisions, right? That influences our cognitive abilities, you know, our rest or lack thereof, right? So, you know, eating well, right? So our eating habits. Are you eating enough? What are you eating? Making sure that, you know, you're making healthy choices for yourself, right? Because that's going to also influence how you feel.
And exactly.
How you make decisions.
Yeah. Those are always my two big things as a counselor that I look at are sleep hygiene, sleeping, how's that going? And then eating habits. So it's funny, but those two things really indicate a lot about our mental health and where we're at. And so I noticed that in myself, overeating, undereating, not getting enough rest. I notice everything seems to unravel. Like those are part of that core of just maintaining everything else in my life well, whether my relationships, my, my work life, volunteering, whatever I do, if I'm not sleeping well and I'm not rested and then the eating's off as well, it's just kind of a slow physical and then emotional crumble, I think we find.
I have to agree with you there. I think that, you know, when we kind of get to that point where we're so busy, we're not eating enough, right? Sometimes we might forget to eat, you know, even remind yourself, set an alarm, right? Because I think sometimes, first of all, the, you know, hanger is a real thing, right?
So, yeah.
You know, we're hungry, we're not thinking clearly, we're not making the best decisions, right? And I think also too, it even causes fatigue, right? So when we're not
eating, yeah,
that fatigue during the day as the day goes on and just kind of progresses and gets worse and worse, right?
Yeah.
And just kind of on the flip side, right? When we're overeating and we're, you know, stressed out and we kind of have that lack of self-control in that area, that's going to also affect us. It's going to make us feel bad. We're going to feel bad about ourselves and maybe not even make the best decisions, right? So we definitely don't want that.
Yeah. And those are things that are actually kind of hard to control. We have a lot of clients coming specifically for eating issues or sleep issues. They might not say that, but it's really been an anxiety or depressive episode that has spiraled out of control due to the lack of sleep that comes with those diagnoses. So when we talk about habits to really foster self-control, I say start realistically, but if you're going to bed at 2 a.m. every day, then, you know, tonight we're going to try for 1 a.m. That's still way too late. And it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. But then, so we do that for a couple days, then it's, you know, midnight, and then it's 11, and then it's maybe 10:30. And maybe that's where we land. I don't know. Or 11, you know, whatever's realistic. But you have to start exercising self-control in the quote unquote small things. If you're someone who gets anxious and forgets to eat, you need to set that alarm, like you said, for 3 square meals a day. Like, I have to remember to eat. Or if I'm an overeater, I need to maybe not have that favorite snack food in the house, because I know it's not going to be, you know, a handful of chips. It will be the whole bag. So again, setting ourselves up for success in our habits by just thinking ahead and saying, okay, I'm not going to think to go to bed. So let me set an alarm, or let me have a friend call and be like, hey, you're trying to go to bed early. It's 11. Why are you still up? So yeah, I think those are some practical things we can do. What else though, Gabby, any other ideas?
And, you know, just even what you were sharing about phoning a friend, right? Just having someone that we can be accountable to, right? Yeah. So having that accountability partner, that friend that we can call, that, you know, family member, you know, someone from your church community that can just help and, you know, be that extra support for you, if you feel that you're struggling through something, having that community is so important.
That is. Yeah. That's why I think a lot of people, like, let's say if you have a diet goal, that's common. People like Weight Watchers or things where you go, or a gym where you work out in community. I think having a social aspect, it gives a little bit of that payoff. And so it feels a little more worth it than just, doing it alone and feeling that you don't have that support network.
And I think sometimes we can also kind of get caught up in trying to set too many goals for ourselves that we just get overwhelmed and maybe we'll stop trying, right? Because we feel like, hey, like, I can't do this, it's too much. So I think focusing on one goal at a time is huge.
Yes, too, that's right? Realistic. Yeah, if I'm not exercising and I'm acting out some addictive behavior every day, I mean, the goal is really that maybe I do it one day less, 2 days less. That's where we start in therapy. So we're not going from acting out every day to then, oh, I didn't act out at all the next week. That's not realistic. So just like your therapist sets realistic goals with you, you need to do that for yourself. You're not going to go from eating Cheetos and Oreos every day to only eating salads. And that's not even healthy anyway, but you know, those are not, people kind of do that extreme habit change and it doesn't last. It doesn't work. It's not really a functioning lifestyle. So we have to be very realistic and maybe get counsel. What are good goals to set that I can achieve and feel that measure of success? And I don't want to stay there forever, but that's where, if I could land there for a few weeks, that would be awesome.
Definitely. I think coming to that point of having a healthy balance, right? You know, some things are okay in moderation, but you know, not overdoing it for ourselves on either end, right? I think also, plan ahead for situations that are going to test your resolve, right? Because we know that they're going to happen. So being mentally prepared for that, I think, before you go into a given situation where you feel that there could possibly be a temptation for you, right?
I love that.
How do you handle this when it pops up for you?
Almost plan that it is going to come. It's going to happen. So let me, like you're saying, if I plan ahead, then I'm not reacting. If I don't plan for it, then I'm just reacting out of my emotion, which is probably going to be the crazy side of me, maybe. So I think, with clients, I can think of a lot of instances where maybe they're like, hey, I'm going home for this holiday and my mom is always really critical. I say, okay, awesome. Let's talk about it. Let's plan for how you will choose to respond. So again, we're choosing ahead of time. How can I respond in a way that is most helpful for her and I? So how can I set a boundary if this type of comment comes up, planning ahead for if it gets really bad? Okay, do I have a car I can use to leave? Can I Uber somewhere? Can a friend pick me up? What can I do to kind of ensure that I will be okay emotionally? Taking someone with you, having a talk with your mom beforehand, saying, hey, I'm coming home. And I find that we often have this kind of conflict dynamic. I don't want to have that. So here's some thoughts I have to help us. Can you please not bring up X, Y, and Z? You know?
No, absolutely. You're setting yourself up for success ahead of time. So I love that. I think also, as we talked about, having a, you know, community, right? That community support also, how are you contributing to your own, you know, spiritual health, right? So that's huge. Are you building a consistent prayer life? I think that is going to help you to be able to resist those temptations too, right? Because, you know, our first connection is vertical before it is horizontal, right? So, you know, if we're not having that prayer life with God and kind of going to Him, then all of our other relationships are going to suffer. That's just the truth, right? If this relationship is weak between you and God, then our other relationships are going to end up not being where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. I love that you brought up prayer, because actually it's interesting, even secular research, not even biblical or Christian research, shows that prayer brings a lot of benefit to people who practice it. So it is a form of mindfulness and self-control and a consistent practice, like you said. So it's kind of cool that we know, maybe, you know, as those of us who are of faith, the things that God set out for us, they work psychologically, it's proven. And so I think that's a really cool testament to even Him as a great psychologist. And if you're listening and you happen to not be of Christian faith, maybe you are atheist or you're from another religious background, it's cool to still know that your prayer practice will actually bring a sense of some stability in your life as well. So, all right. Well, while we're on the topic, since we are, you know, a faith-based organization, we do like to share what the Bible says. So I wonder, Gabby, if you could share a few scriptures that apply to self-control.
Yeah, so I think the Bible is pretty clear on this topic. Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person that has no self-control over his spirit. And if you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Okay, awesome. The Bible really reveres and upholds self-control. It's a high value.
Absolutely. One last one that I'll, just kind of share with you guys. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So self-control gives us power, even kind of, you know, seeing those adjectives together. So it does, it gives us power over our lives, our choices, and all those little choices that add up to make that that greater experience of our life. So, well, very good, Gabby. We're going to start wrapping up, but thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all this was awesome, awesome knowledge. I hope our listeners that you enjoyed it. We hope that you learned about self-control, self-regulation, and that you can maybe apply this, or if you know someone struggling in this area, send them the podcast. You can find it at Wellspring on the Air channel on your podcast app, or you can go to our blog page, wellspringmiami.org, and just look up the show on self-control and self-regulation. Also, if you want to encourage us or let us know you're listening by sending any comments or questions, you can email us at ontheair@wellspringmiami.org. It's time to wrap up. This is Lindsay Steffen with Wellspring on the Air, because hearts and minds matter.